This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Tyler and Shay here on ESPN 1000. Shay is off but working today. He'll be with you for White Sox pre and post. Also's got you with White Sox Weekly coming up in about 2.5 hours from now. Got a quick 30-minute sprint for you here. We've got plenty of baseball, some football in the air as well. But if you want to join us, 312-332-3776 is the number to call. Don't forget, you can also watch the show on YouTube. And you can take us on the go with that ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Bring us to the grocery store, on the road, wherever you want to go. You'll have us right in your pocket there. The Cubs, big win last night in St. Louis, 5-1 over the St. Louis Cardinals. They are now on a tied for a season-high five-game winning streak. And they've been really dominant over this five-game winning streak because I don't think all five-game winning streaks, especially with the way that the Cubs have played this year, where it's been up and down, but even the wins have been really close wins. This has been a dominant stretch here for the Chicago Cubs. Not only have they won five in a row, they are winners of seven of their last eight. But if you dive into the numbers and you look at who they've played over this five-game winning streak, sure, you had the one against the Angels. That's whatever right there. But the real important series was what they did against Baltimore and then what they did last night against St. Louis. And I look at what we've seen over this five-game streak. They have outscored their opponents 31-3. Now, we knew the pitching was great. This starting pitching staff has been phenomenal all season long. You got another great start out of Kyle Hendricks, who has really found himself. He's had a few clunkers in there as well, especially early in the season, but he has looked like a completely different player from what we saw in April. And then you look at the obvious performances that we've seen out of Justin Steele, who I believe should be an all-star this year. You look at the way his numbers have shook out this year. He's been nothing short of phenomenal ever since he came off the IL and has put together back-to-back really strong starts, including the complete game, one-run outing against the Angels. Then he had seven shutout against the Orioles and just 70 pitches, probably could have gone the whole time if the Cubs were not blowing out the Orioles at that point. We had the eight-run lead or seven-run lead at that time. But we knew the pitching was there. The important part was going to be, could the hitting not even live up to where the pitching was at the point, but could the hitting carry its weight? And boy, have they over these last couple of games here. Yesterday, another fantastic offensive showing, five runs, plenty against the Cardinals. But I think the real thing there is the 13 hits that the Cubs had yesterday against the Cardinals. They are hitting the ball as well as they have all season long. You're seeing it everywhere, too. Michael Busch has been one of the best stories the Cubs have had all year. He has worked himself into being one of the 10 best hitters in the NL, and that's something that I don't think a lot of us saw. I think some people were bullish on Michael Busch coming into this season, thought he could be the first baseman of the future, and he's showing that and then some for them. He has been phenomenal. He's been the best hitter on this team over the last month. But Ian Happ is carrying his weight now. Seiya Suzuki hitting the ball much better. If you told me during the months of June or May that this team would have three hitters with an OPS above 800 and none of them would be Cody Bellinger, I would have thought there is no way that's going to happen. But they have somehow worked their way into that spot as we sit here on July 13th. And with the trade deadline now about 2.5 weeks away, there are major decisions that need to be made by Jed Hoyer. You kind of find yourself in the same exact position that this team was in exactly a year ago. And this Cubs team and the front office half-assed the buy last year. They half-assed it. They went out, they fixed up their third base spot, got Jamer Candelario, but they didn't really do anything to shore up what I think a lot of Cubs fans knew was the weakest point of this team. And that is the bullpen. Now, the bullpen has been very strong over the last month or so. They have not looked like the bullpen that we saw in April and May that were blowing 8-run leads, that it was blown save after blown save, and it was devastating loss after devastating loss, getting walked off on the road. They haven't been like that, but there's always the chance that they revert back to that. And I think that the way that we've seen injuries mount up, sure, this bullpen's going to get a little bit better by health. All right, it looks like Julian Merriweather's on his way back. He was maybe the best reliever on this team last year. Him and Mark Leiter were two of the best. And Mark Leiter working his way back as well. So getting those guys back in the fold here certainly can help bolster a bullpen. But we saw last night, Luke Little leaves the game. He's been very good as of late. He hasn't allowed a run in his last 9 appearances. But now there's questions about what his health looks like after he left the game in the middle of an at-bat yesterday. Yency Almonte, who you thought you were going to get back at some point, is now done for the season. So Jed and the rest of the front office for the Cubs, they have a chance to redo history here. It reminds me a little bit of like the show Tosh.0. Remember, I don't know if you were old enough for this, Potsy. Did you ever watch Tosh.0?
No, I did not.
And they would find this one, like the main feature of the show was that, obviously, like they found all these internet videos, but they would find like this one very viral video of somebody with a tremendous fall or just a colossal blunder. And they would bring them on the show, and they would reenact the video, and it would get to a certain point, and he would go, "Are you ready to give it another shot?" And they would go out there, and they would right their wrongs from the viral video that they had. And I think Jed kind of sits in that situation right now, because this is almost carbon copy to what we saw last year. Hot April, a lull in May and June, but then the team heats up again in July, and it's decision time right as you get to the deadline. And I know he's gone out there and said it really depends how this team plays. But if this team can get to 500 in the NL, and I know a lot of people in this town are really sick of hearing about, oh, the Diamondbacks model from a year ago. And I'm with you. I am sick of hearing about the quote-unquote Diamondbacks model from what we saw where Arizona snuck in last year with the last wild card spot and made their way all the way to the World Series, including beating teams like the Brewers and also beating the Phillies. Two good teams last year. And they found their way there because they had tremendous pitching. And I think that this Cubs team has tremendous pitching, where if you put them in a series against a team, I don't think teams want to face the Cubs if they were to get into the playoffs. But they got to get there. And they still sit 3 games out of a wild card spot right now. You've got 3 more against St. Louis this weekend with the doubleheader today as they go for a season-long winning streak. But Jed is in that situation where he has a chance to redo what happened at last year's deadline. And I think, given what we saw last year, where this team came up woefully short as it got into August and September, and there were blown games and frustrating losses and mental errors. It looked like a mentally tired team, a mentally unfocused team at the end of last season. And Jed has a chance to fix that right now. He has a chance to go out and redo a nearly carbon copy situation from a year ago. If he's going to do this, do it right. Either go all in or don't play the game at all. Because this team, I'm not saying there's some special group that has a chance to get to the World Series, because they're not. But I do think when you are building for the future, you have guys on this roster who do not have playoff experience. Guys who are supposed to be fundamental pieces for you moving forward. Think about how... And this is part of why I was really into the Cubs going for it last year, making moves at the deadline, acquiring a bat, getting some more relief help in there last year. I was for it because I wanted to see guys like Nico Hoerner get playoff at-bats, guys like Seiya Suzuki get playoff at-bats. Ian Happ was a part of that run, But it wasn't like he was getting a ton of playoff at-bats as a member of that Cubs core there. Like, there's guys that need some of this. Michael Busch would be great to start getting him some playoff experience here. So Jed's got that chance now, and I would focus on a couple of spots here if I was him. I would look at the bullpen, first and foremost, if you can find a closer out there. Closers don't come cheap, but if you can find it, I'm not asking for a Mason Miller type because I don't think that's a deal that works out well for the Cubs, short-term or long-term. I think you're looking for a guy, just a dependable guy, maybe two arms that you can go out, because I think that will make a world of a difference. And then if you can find one bat, maybe the Mets fall out of this a little bit. Doesn't look like that's where they're trending right now, but who knows how the next 2 weeks shake out. Maybe you can find a guy like a Brent Rooker out of Oakland. Is that a name? Get a little power into the lineup there. A guy like that. Someone that you can slot in, get you a little bit of pop, because you're going to need it in some of these big moments. It's been nice. The offense has been great the last eight or so games. But you're not going to go on five-game winning streaks where you outscore your opponents 31-3 every single time. It's an unsustainable run that they're on right now. Now, if this team was outscoring their opponents right now, like 21-18, 21-15 right now, I think that's a little bit more sustainable. But right now, they are on a dominant stretch, looking like as good as anybody in baseball right now with the way that they've looked over the past five games. It's just going to be, can you stretch it out over the course of a long term? This is a team right now that's won 7 out of their last 10. And they're going to need more relief help moving forward if they want to continue this stretch, because we're seeing a number of these relievers start to drop like flies. The starting pitching, I'm not worried about. You know, it's very rare you find yourself in a situation like this where you're trying to go for it, you're trying to make a little bit of a run here towards a playoff spot, trying to sneak into the wild card as one of the last one or two teams, and you don't need starting pitching help, because that's where the expensive trades happen. But relievers, if you're getting some just back-end 7th, 8th inning guys, maybe you find a closer there, but you don't necessarily need to give up a crazy amount of prospect capital. And when you look at the way that the Cubs farm system is built, not having to give up prospect capital out of a system that is very deep. Like, the 15th ranked prospect in the Cubs system is probably closer to the 20th, 22nd ranked prospect in another system. And when you have something like that, that you can give up at your disposal, and you've got that depth, and you're only giving up guys that are on that back end of your minor league system to go out and get some of these guys, I don't think there's a big bat move to be made. Maybe you find one, like I mentioned, a Brent Rooker or something like that. Maybe you find something like that. But I don't think there's going to be a crazy move that's going to be made from a bat standpoint. I would like to see maybe a little bit more thump, get some at-bats for Christopher Morel. But I think you got to focus on the bullpen first. Shoring up this bullpen would go a long way. And this bullpen's been pretty good as of late. But they also really haven't had to go into these high-leverage situations. I like what I've seen out of guys like Luke Little. I'm intrigued by what Hunter Biggie might bring to the table as well. We saw him the other day come in against the Orioles, make his major league debut. He was throwing gas, getting it up there at 100 with some good off-speed stuff as well. So I'm intrigued by that. I'm intrigued by what the return of Julian Merriweather will look like as well. But there's still more pieces that you need to build around and fix up this bullpen with, because last year, I mean, it was, you know that meme, Potsy, of the, it's like a lock, it's almost like a bathroom lock, and there's Cheeto that's wedged in there.
Yes, yes.
That's what they did last year by going out and getting Jose Kwas.
Yep,
you got to do a little more than fill the lock hole with a Cheeto.
Yeah.
Like, you got to fill it with a little bit more than just a Flamin' Hot Cheeto there. 312-332-3776, if you want to join us. Joey G is in Melrose Park. What's up, Joey?
Good morning, Tyler. I was looking at you on the YouTube channel, and you're all by yourself there.
Solo mission for me today. Don't worry, Shay will be with you talking a little bit about the other team in town later today.
No. I want to join the Cub conversation.
I'd love to have you.
Cap keeps yelling at me because I tell them they're not going to win anything. But they are they're on a roll, number one. Number two, 100% I agree with you. If they shore up the relief pitching, okay, I think they can make the wild card. What has changed? What do you think has changed, Tyler, in the last on this win streak?
Well, I think they're hitting the ball, Joey. When you outscore your opponents 31-3 over the stretch, and in seven of their last eight they've won, they're outscoring teams 46-13. And if you throw out the one outlier where they lose to the Angels 7-0, like that's the outlier game there, then you're outscoring your opponents 46-6 over those seven wins. So it's been the offense. You're seeing Dansby Swanson.
The offense has definitely picked it up. Do we credit the $40 million man?
I do think Craig Counsell probably gets a little too much blame. I wouldn't go so far as to say he should be given a ton of credit for this. I just think we're seeing some bats turn around and regress to the mean here. This is the polar opposite end of the spectrum. We saw the worst of the worst during June and May, and now I think we're seeing what it looks like when this team is at its, like, this is the best stretch of baseball, Joey, that we've seen the Cubs play all season long, and this is what the peak looks like when you're talking about regression. This is the regression to the mean where you're overshooting a little bit the other
way.
Well,
when you go into Baltimore and you sweep the best team in the American League, that was a statement.
Yeah.
Something changed there.
Yeah, certainly.
It's either that, Tyler, or it's Otis.
Listen, Joey, big fan of Otis.
Big fan of Otis.
Big fan of Otis. Cap's
God
all.
Bless Cap for buying Otis.
Yes.
But he's got competition now in New York. The Mets got Grizzly Grid.
Yeah, you know,
Joey. Did you see Grizzly Grid?
Yeah, Grimace, the big purple guy.
No. Grizzly Grid. They got a dog.
Oh, they got a dog now.
Dressed in a Mets uniform. They have not lost since they brought Grizzly Grid to their games.
Interesting.
So now we got Otis. They got Grizzly Grid.
All right. Well, I'll have to take a look for that.
You see what Cam started?
I know. He's starting a little trend here. Appreciate the call, Joey.
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood in sports.
Yep. It's a zoo out here. Thanks for the call, Joey. Yeah, I don't know. I've been on a little bit of a McDonald's boycott, actually. I am boycotting McDonald's until the Mets suck again. That's been my thing. So 312-332-3776 if you want to join us for some Cubs conversation. We're going to talk a little bit of Bears here coming up. Are we overrating the Bears? Do we have a different perception of the Bears than maybe we should? We'll talk about that when we come back here. Tyler Aki and no Shay Norling today. You will get a little bit of Shay a little bit later on with White Sox Weekly starting at 10:30. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Potsy, Justin Pottinger, for producing today's show as we lead into the CDGA Golf Show in a little bit here. Shay is off today. You'll get him with White Sox Weekly starting at 10:30 and also leading you into pregame for the White Sox and Pirates out at Guaranteed Rate Field a little bit later on today. All right, let's get into a little bit of football talk as by the time we have our show next week, they will be on the field. The Bears will be on the field practicing.
Oh,
I think as we get off the air, practice will be beginning. I believe they have a 9 a.m. practice next week, which is crazy to think that football is this here already. The Bears have a game in less than 3 weeks now with the Hall of Fame game taking place out in Canton. That is 3 weeks from last Thursday. But there's been all these different lists and projections and rankings, giving you individuals, units, and then overall teams and where kind of the Bears slot in. And if you look at a lot of these, the Bears really don't slot in on a number of them. You look at some of these top 10 at positions. There was a new one today about interior offensive linemen. Bears not a part of that. There have been a number of other lists that have had them a little less favorable than I think a lot of Bears fans would like. There's certain ones where I think they're a little bit higher than some Bears fans maybe thought. I think the offensive line one out of PFF had them a little bit more favorable than maybe some people thought as they slotted them at 11. But we've seen a lot of different rankings and stuff that have not been as favorable to the secondary, which I think a lot of people in this town think is a strength of this team. In fact, some people may think it is the best unit on this football team, a football team that some think could win 10, 11 games. And you look at everything that is being said about the Bears, a lot of people think they may be one of the more overrated teams. And when you see them sitting at a win total of 8.5, that's the number that's been set by the odds makers there. 8.5, the win total. I think a little low for some people in the town. A lot of people think that is an easy over. And listen, the sports books, they don't run charities. And to see this many people loving that over 8.5 has me a little bit worried. But I'm starting to think, are we overrating the Bears a little bit? This team is very unproven in the trenches, unproven at quarterback, and those are the three most important areas on a football team. Your quarterback, your offensive line, and who's getting after the opposing quarterback. And to see the Bears be this unproven, I mean, there's one proven piece among those three units there. Just one. Out of a 10-player sample, you have one proven guy. And that's Montez Sweat. Everyone else, a lot of question marks. What's Jervon Dexter going to look like in his next season? Can DeMarcus Walker look more like the guy who was there along with Montez Sweat than he was before that? Offensive line, you can point at any of them and point out a question mark. I think Darnell Wright's the safest, and I would say number two among proven guys out of the 10, the four on the defensive line, the five on the offensive line, plus the quarterback. But there's a lot of question marks among those 10 guys, and they may be the 10 of the most important guys on your roster. Braxton Jones, what's he going to look like as he is going to be seeking a new contract next season, next offseason? Is he going to be a guy that the Bears are going to build around long-term, or are they going to think of him as maybe more of a swing tackle, or are they just going to move on from him altogether? Tevin Jenkins, as he enters a contract year, is he going to be another one of those foundational pieces? Because the guard market is something that we've seen explode in recent years. I mean, we had a guy this offseason signed for $100 million at guard. Can Tevin Jenkins, not saying he's going to be a $100 million man, a nine-figure guy, but can he establish himself as one of the better interior offensive linemen in all of football? I mean, who is the center? That's a question mark there. And then Nate Davis is maybe the most unreliable guy out of the 10 that we've seen. And then, of course, you've got your rookie quarterback who knows how that's going to turn out this year. We see plenty of rookie growing pains. Even for the best of them, even for the CJ Strouds and the Justin Herberts, there's rookie growing pains. But it's just going to be the timeliness of it all. None of them were dropped into a situation that even closely resembles what Caleb Williams is being thrust into here. None of them. None of them are even close. That's why Caleb has a chance to do something really special and maybe even rewrite the rookie record book as a quarterback. He has a chance to do it given the pieces that are around him. But ultimately, a lot of it could come down to what is the offensive line going to do to help him out? How good is that group right there? Can you rely on Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis? And is Braxton Jones maybe a little bit better than we think? Can Darnell Wright follow up what I thought was a strong rookie season? Like, there's that group of 10 guys. I am positive, and I feel good about one of them. I have strong thoughts that they could be good, that certain guys could be good. I think you could get good seasons out of maybe 5 of the 10 there. But 4 of the 5 have to prove something to me. Is who's going to overachieve? There's always overachievers on a team. There's always underachievers on a team. Who's going to be the guy that goes above and beyond this season for the Bears? I specifically point to that offensive line. Specifically, because right now, that is the weakest unit on this team. It may be one with potential, but it is right now, as we sit here, less than a month away from this team suiting up in Canton for the Hall of Fame game against the Texans. That is the weakest unit on the team. And it's not because they don't have talent. I think there's talent on the offensive line. But it's because the dependability hasn't been there. And there's question marks about what that group truly is. It's going to be a really, really interesting Bears season. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think there's a lot of potential. I picked them earlier for going out there and winning 11 games. I'll probably drop it down to 10 by the time we get to the season. I think that's kind of my rule of thumb is you go, you play the win-loss game, and then you drop one win. I think that's the way you kind of have to play it in the NFL because these teams are all so close to each other, and especially a team that hasn't proven anything on the field yet. I think you do have to drop them back a win. So I'll probably get to 10 by the time they ultimately kick things off in September against the Titans. But you look at, I think about the core 10 guys, the 10 guys that are closest together, the offensive line, the defensive line, and then the quarterback. I have unproven guys in 9 of those spots. Montez Sweat, the only guy that's proven anything in the NFL to me. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you next week. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.